Hi, this is Rick Warren. Did you know that the best gift you can give anybody is to bring them into a relationship with Jesus Christ? And did you know that the best time to do that is at Christmas? Here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want you to make a Christmas list of people. Think of all the people who you know who don't know Jesus, or who might know Jesus but don't go to church anywhere. And I want you to start praying for them. And then I want you to invite those people you've prayed for to come to a Christmas Eve or Christmas Day service at your church.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. Well, we're so glad you're here today. Rick is going to finish up a message called The Greatest Gifts You'll Ever Get. This is a powerful Christmas message about how God's love, grace, and purpose will bring you lasting hope and joy. So let's hear what Rick has to say.
God says, I want to give you a new identity, a new ability, and number three, I want to give you a new community. This is the third gift wrapped up in the big box of Jesus, a new community. God says, I'm going to give you a family, a spiritual family, to support you in doing the right thing. You see, you weren't meant to go through life all alone. You never were. You were meant to know God, and you were meant to have a family around you that supports you. We always change better in a group than we do on our own. That's why most diets and most personal self-help plans don't work, because it's all about you, and you don't have any spiritual family to support you. The Bible says God created the entire universe because he wanted a family. Look at this verse, Ephesians chapter 1. The Bible says, because of his love, remember it all comes back to God's love, God so loved that he gave, because of his love, God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to circle the word adopt. You're not automatically in God's family. You have to be adopted into it. And how does he adopt us? Circle through Jesus Christ. That's how he adopts us, through Jesus Christ. God says, I don't want you to just believe in me. I want you to belong to my family. That's so important. I'm going to say it again. If you don't get anything else I say, get this. It's not just enough to believe in Jesus. You need to belong to his family, because you need that support. Now, is everybody in the family of God? No. Not everybody's in the family. You got to be adopted into it. Is everybody a child of God? No. Not everybody is the child of God. Everybody is loved by God. God has never made a person he doesn't love. Everybody is created by God. God has never made a person he doesn't have a plan for. God has never made a person he doesn't want in heaven. God has never made a person Jesus didn't die for. God has never made a person he doesn't want to know him personally. But the only way you get in God's family is by choosing. It's a decision. See, when I was born physically, I automatically became a part of the human race. I didn't get a choice. When I was born, I became a part of the human race. But I didn't become a part of a family until somebody chose to take me home from the hospital. And then I became a part of a family. Somebody made a choice. I want that kid. God says, I want you in my family. Then you've got to choose to be in his family. And God says, I'm going to give you not just identity, new identity, not just a new ability. I'm going to give you a new community, a family around you to help you change. What is that family? Well, look at what the Bible says. 1 Timothy chapter 3. That family is the church of the living God. Now, before I read the rest of the verse, notice the church is a family. It's not a business. It's not an organization. It's not a club. It's a spiritual family. Now, a lot of churches act like a business. They act like a club. They act like an organization. But that's not what God designed it for. God designed the church to be a family where we love each other, we support each other, and we care for each other. Now, the Bible says God created the family for your support. Notice, that family is the church of the living God, the support and foundation of the truth. Circle support and foundation. You need support and you need a foundation for your life. If you don't have a foundation for your life and you don't have the spiritual support of a family, you are not going to become what God wants you to be. Now, in California, we all know the importance of a good support and a good foundation because we have a thing here called earthquakes. And if you don't have a good support, you don't have a good foundation, the house crumbles when the earthquake comes. Most people don't realize the necessity of a church family. It's not enough to just say, oh, I believe in Jesus. You need a church family. If you don't have a church family, what is your support? What is your family? You don't have one. God says, without this, you're not going to have foundation or support. When my son died, my small group was there within 30 minutes. You see, when it comes to support, the smaller the better. That's why this church is built around 7,000 small groups. A crowd can't support you. We can't support you as a crowd. You need to be in a small group. We actually, in our church, have more people in small groups that come on the weekend. Why? Because that's where the support and foundation come from. And if you're not in a group, you need to get in a group so you have that when the rogue winds and the earthquakes of life come in your life. God says, you need it. You see, we're better together. We need each other. We compensate for each other. Now, notice what the Bible says. Next verse. A different spiritual gift, there's that word gift again, a different spiritual gift is given to each of us in God's family so we can help each other for the common good. In other words, I have some gifts and abilities and talents, they help you. You have gifts and abilities and talents, they help the person next to you. They have some gifts and abilities and talents that help me, and on, we help each other. That's what the family's for. That's what the community is for. And for 33 years, we've been building a community of love called Saddleback Church. We don't want this church to be famous for its size, for its buildings, for the music, for the messages. We want this church to be famous for the love, the support. And we've been working together, building this family of love. And we invite you to be a part of it. I want you to watch a video that's kind of a metaphor. It's just a few of the members. I could give you 38,000 stories. But just watch this, the metaphor of a family of love. Watch this.
Before I came to Christ, I felt I had everything the world had to offer, and nothing seemed to just satisfy. It was never enough.
All I cared about was money, material goods, and what's in it for me.
Before I knew Christ, my life was prideful, selfish, and really only caring about myself.
After a few years of my marriage, my husband had an affair, and I broke. I was broken.
I felt alone. I felt like God wasn't there, and that he didn't care, and that he abandoned me like my father did.
I was lost, and I don't really think I even knew what real love was. Surrendering to God and just seeking him and following him, that was everything. That changed everything.
The only thing that could redeem me was love. The only thing that could redeem me was perfect love. And I met people at Saddleback who loved me, who saw value in me.
I felt love and acceptance for the first time and not judgment and condemnation.
I joined with other women who struggled with the same issues that I did.
I joined a small group, and I just felt that they didn't judge me, that they loved me right where I was at for who I was.
Saddleback Church truly modeled Jesus Christ through the love, grace, and forgiveness they showed me.
Falling in love with Jesus has just transformed my entire life, the way I do things, the way I think. I'm no longer trying to fill that void with anything but with the love of Christ.
I run to him instead of looking in the mirror and saying, I hate you.
Now that I know Christ and know that I'm loved by him, I am more open, more honest, and more empathetic for others.
I have a restored life today and restored relationships.
Who I am in Christ now is completely changed from the inside out, and I'm celebrating because of this church and what Jesus has done. 4 years of sobriety for drugs and alcohol and 3 years of sexual purity.
I do not worry about what people think of me. I do not need others' approval. I can live and be loved by a God who doesn't need anything from me. Now that I've experienced the love of Christ, I am fearless.
Wow. Why do so many people call Saddleback Church their spiritual home? Because this is a place where you will be loved, you will be wanted, you will be needed, you will be forgiven, and you will be supported. And if you don't have that gift in your life, you need it. Now, who is God's family for? Who is the community for? Who is the church for? Look at the next verse. The Bible says in Galatians 3, in Christ's family, there are no divisions. In other words, no distinctions. No distinctions between Jew and non-Jew, or between slave and free, or between male and female. Instead, we're all equal in a common relationship with Jesus Christ. The church, God's family, is not based on heredity. It's not based on ethnicity. It's not based on affinity. It's not based on nationality. It's based on the fact that you are loved by Jesus Christ. It doesn't really matter what religious background you are. You may be Jewish. You're welcome here. You may be Muslim or Mormon or Buddhist or Baptist. You're welcome here. You may be Catholic or Hindu or atheist or agnostic. I don't really care what your religious background is, because this is not about religion. God didn't come to give you a religion at Christmas. He came to give you a relationship to Jesus Christ, one of love. And, you know, at Saddleback now, we speak 67 different languages. We call ourselves an all-nation congregation. And I get up on the weekend and I look out at you and I see 1 million flavors. Why? That's intentional. We say we want our church to be a preview of heaven. We want our church to look like heaven's going to look like, because in heaven, it's going to be people of all backgrounds, all sizes, all shapes, all colors, all races, all ethnics, all languages, all different, fat people and skinny people, tall people and short people, all kinds of people. And that's the way we want our church to be. Now, there's one other gift that's wrapped up in the big gift. There's this gift of Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave, the first Christmas gift, gave his son, and wrapped up in the big box is a new identity, a new ability, and a new community. But there's one more, and this one's going to outlast everything. It is a new destiny. God gives me, when I accept Jesus Christ into my life, a new destiny. Now, some gifts don't last. I remember as a kid, I got some Christmas gifts. They were broken by noon. And there were some gifts you get that you don't even want. You instantly regift them. One's like the chia pet, you know? Nobody really wants a chia pet. You just pass it on to somebody else. Somebody's laughing all the way to the bank on that one. And they go, we actually got, it's like people who bought a pet rock 30 years ago. And God says, no, here's a gift that's going to last forever, a new destiny. Now, this gift means the most to me out of all of them. I now have a lot of friends in heaven. I have a father in heaven. I have a mother in heaven. My older brother is in heaven. I have a son in heaven. I have many friends in heaven. And I said this a couple weeks ago. If my son Matthew were able to contact me right now and say, Dad, I'm up here, and he goes, he would say to me, it's so much better than you told me, Dad. It's so much better than you told me, and I can't wait for you to get here. How do I know my son is in heaven? Because one day he accepted the big gift. He accepted Jesus Christ into his heart and life. I was there when it happened. And the Bible says this, 1 Peter, God has reserved for his children the priceless gift, there's that word, the priceless gift of eternal life. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And in Romans chapter 6, we're told this, the free gift of God is eternal life. That's the new destiny. Eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. It comes in the package of Jesus. The free gift. You don't earn your way to heaven. You don't buy your way to heaven. You don't bribe your way to heaven. You don't bargain your way to heaven. You're never going to be good enough to get into heaven. You can't talk your way into heaven. It's simply a free gift. When you receive the big gift, it's inside. It's part of the package. Now, for the past couple weeks, every parent has been frantically searching for the perfect gifts for children, for their kids. Look at what Jesus has to say about this. The next verse here on the screen. It's here on the screen, Matthew 7:11. If you, though imperfect and sinful, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Look at this again. If you, though imperfect, you're an imperfect parent. I'm an imperfect parent. None of us are perfect parents. If we know how to give good gifts to our kids, how much more will your Father in heaven, who's perfect and loves you unconditionally, give good gifts to those who ask him? Now notice the phrase, the word ask. The key is there are some gifts you have to ask for. Every gift in your life, everything in your life is a gift from God. The air you breathe, the sun, your brain, your own life, everything you have is a gift from God. But there are some gifts you have to ask for. And you say, I want Jesus Christ in my life. Now let me summarize it. God says, I sent the first Christmas gift, my son, to die for you so you could go to heaven. And I'm going to give you a new identity. I'm going to give you a new ability to change the things you want to change. I'm going to give you a new community. It's called my church family to support you through life. And I'm going to give you a new destiny in eternity. Where else are you going to get that? Nowhere. Nowhere else. That's why I called it the greatest gifts you'll ever receive. Now, what do I do with these gifts of Jesus Christ? I humbly and I gratefully accept them. The Bible says this. Look at this verse. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. There is no better gift than what I just talked about. And here's the offer. The Bible says this. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and you're ready to do as he says, the door is open. You just got to ask. Dear God, I need your son in my life. And I need a new identity, a new ability, a new community, and a new destiny. And he will give them to you because of his grace. I'm going to pray a prayer in just a minute, and I'm going to invite you to follow me in it, to invite Christ into your life, to accept God's Christmas gift to you. Can you imagine somebody giving you a $1 million gift and you never open it? That would be stupid. But I know a lot of people who God's given this gift to, they've never opened the package. And what's crazy is they celebrate Christmas. How is it possible to celebrate Christmas year after year after year after year after year after year, your entire life, and never open the gift? Hello? What do you think it's all about? God so loved that he gave his son for you. You need to open the gift. You need to receive the gift. This gift is for you. This Christmas, the blessing, the prayer that I have chosen for you is a 2,000-year-old prayer. And I feel it very deeply for you. Ephesians chapter 3 says this. I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And I pray that you will be able to feel, not just know, you'll be able to feel and understand how long, how wide, how deep, how high God's love for you really is. And to experience this love for yourself, that's my prayer for you. Though it is so great, you'll never fully understand it. Let's bow our heads. This is your moment. Before you were even born, God knew that you would be at this point in this day hearing this so he could say this to you, you matter to me. And I've offered you this gift. God so loved the world. God so loved you that he gave his son. And in his son are a new ability and a new identity and a new community and a new destiny. Would you pray this prayer? Just say it. The words really don't matter. What matters, you have to have the right attitude. And the right attitude is you must be humble. You must humble yourself before God. God is God, and you're not. And you need to put away pride and arrogance and say this, just in your heart. Dear God, dear Jesus Christ, thank you for the Christmas gift of yourself. Thank you that you love me so much, you came to die for me. I don't understand it all, but today I'm saying yes to you. I receive the Christmas gift of Jesus. And I want my roots to go deep into your love. And I'm asking you to give me my true identity, not what everybody else has told me I am. But dear God, you made me. Help me to see what you made me to be. Give me my true identity. Give me a new ability. I can't change on my own. I need your power in my life. And I want to have this new community. I don't want to go through life without the support and foundation you've prepared. And I'm humbly asking for a new destiny. That one day you will accept me into your place in heaven, not because I deserve it, because I don't, but because I have received your Son and your Savior. And I pray this prayer humbly, saying, I want to learn to love you and trust you in the days ahead. In your name I ask this. Amen. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
Such a great message by Rick today and every day. I sure hope you were just as encouraged as I was. And now, here's Rick with a special message.
I know I tell you this all the time, but again, I want you to know how much I thank God for you and appreciate your support of Daily Hope. We couldn't do this without your prayers, and we can't do it without your financial gifts. And I know that for many of you, this is a real sacrifice in order to be able to support the ministry of Daily Hope as we take the message of Christ literally around the world into places that nobody else is going to. As you consider your year-end giving, I want to ask you to consider about sending your greatest gift to Daily Hope that you've ever given. You know, the great news is that in this month, your financial gift will be doubled because a generous friend is offering a $100,000 matching grant. And they've challenged all of the rest of us to give as much as we can, and they will match it up to $100,000. That means that every dollar you give to Daily Hope in December, up to $100,000, will be doubled. You give $25, it's like giving $50. And if you give $100, it's like giving $200. And if you're able to give $1,000 or more, it will be doubled. Your generosity, and of course, Christmas is all about the spirit of generosity. God so loved the world that he gave. Your generosity makes this ministry possible. It allows us to reach into refugee camps. It allows us to reach out around the world, overseas. It allows us to reach people who could not ever afford to pay for any discipleship tools or materials. So your donations matter. Let me ask you a personal favor. Don't forget to pray for us during this season. We're praying for you. Let me know that you prayed. It really blesses me to hear from you. I love the letters, the emails, the cards, the stories that come in, because it helps me realize we truly are partnering together
in this ministry. It's not about me. It's about the Word of God, and it's about what we can do together that none of us could do on our own. We are more effective together. We're better together.
This matching grant is only available until midnight on December 31st. So please act now by going to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And thank you so much for your support. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.